Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, running down a dozen trades here from the Analytics Dynasty Trade Database. J.K. Dobbins, Javonte Williams, and a future third. That's a 2022 third for Saquon Barkley. All of these are actually super flex trades. So that's an interesting one. I've talked a little bit about how I think there's some risk with Barkley. I think you're ultimately, that's clearly the best player in the deal. It's clearly the highest upside. I do think there's risk. You know, one thing I would say about this trade, I'd probably take the Barkley side. Give me something on the other side of it coming back, and just to mitigate some risk. Again, it's probably not a huge asset, you know, but can you fix a backup tight end spot? Can you, get a wide receiver four? Can you sort of do that, as a sort of an ancillary piece to that deal? I like best player in the trade deals. I like getting those. I like to have another piece there. I hate 3-for-1 trades just because I think you leave yourself a little exposed. And obviously, if Barkley whiffs, no matter what you do, you're probably going to lose the trade. But I just like to try and accomplish, dual tasks. And if that's making a tight end situation better, a receiver situation better, I'm aiming to do that. Okay, Devin Singletary, Christian Kirk, and Hunter Henry for Devonta Freeman, Julian Edelman, and 111. So Freeman and Edelman appear in this trade to be just placeholders. It is basically all of those players for 111. I think it's notable. It's interesting what you would do at 111. I think that's an interesting debate. If that's moving up for Trey Sermon, that's really interesting. I get the impression it's probably not moving up for Trey Sermon. But I think that's an interesting, you pivot to some upside with three guys that are basically non-upside guys. I'll say, similar to the Barkley deal, just give me something else in the deal to sort of offset 111. Right? Give me multiple outs, even if the outs minimal probability. We fixing a backup, we upgrading a backup running back spot, or we, fixing a situational receivers, Marvin Jones, something like, some type of thing like that. I am not a huge fan of 3-for-1 deals in terms of the construct. I just think you can probably do something ancillary to it to give you, to serve multiple purposes. 103 for CeeDee Lamb and 208. See, I like this in terms of get the extra pick back. All right, again, it's not super helpful, but who knows? That could be, if it's it is super flex, so maybe that's, is that Kadarius Toney? Is that is it Freiermuth? Is it is it someone like this? Heck, it could be Michael Carter. It could be someone trying to trade in there for Michael Carter. It could be a variety of different guys. I think that's an interesting way to kick it back. So I sort of like that construct of it. CeeDee Lamb for 103, it's probably pretty neutral market value-wise. I think it kind of depends on what you want to do with it, who you're taking there. But I think it's fine, right? I think if that's, if it's quarterback two, something like that, or if it's, what I wouldn't probably do there is take Ja'Marr Chase. I would want to, it's a standard tight end premium. So that's probably Najee Harris for me. And I think that's probably a fair deal. All right. 107, 210, 305 for 105. So that's an interesting move up a couple spots. What is that for would be the question that I would have. What's your aim there? Again, this is another 3-for-1. This is I've stated my case on those, but I do think if you're trading up, that's pretty close to the dead zone. So you're basically trading up a couple of dead zone picks for 105. If that's a tight roster, it's fine. I just wonder, I would encourage the person moving from 107 to 105 to be realistic about what you're trying to accomplish there, what you're trying to add, what do you see as the difference between those players? And not necessarily to talk them out of making this deal. I think the value is probably fine. But just if you're making that kind of deal, what's your aim? Why are you doing it? Why are you sort of moving up a couple of spots? That's not a habit you want to get into. And the thing that I worry about with a class like this where it's not great is that we can develop some bad habits, right? Where we can, just shipping in all picks, right? And it's just something I want to warn against folks doing going forward. It's just don't get over, don't develop bad habits in this class. You know, let's reset after this class and, you know, remember some of our principles about, you know, getting extra picks back later in rounds and doing those sorts of things and being really careful about moving from 107 to 105. Again, maybe it's warranted here. You know, I'm not exactly sure how the board fell, but, you know, I would just be cautious of falling into some bad habits after this class. Dan Arnold for Quintez Cephas. Listen, I run all the way straight down the board. So I don't skip trades in this unless it's something that, looks totally out of whack. But this is an interesting one in terms of, I think Quintez Cephas could be very relevant this year. There's some argument that Dan Arnold could be really relevant this year. It's kind of like, hey, you're junk for my junk. I actually think it's pretty interesting. So, just from a deeper sort of, hey, you know, it's this, it's basically junk for junk. How this deal gets made, like, that'd be a fascinating one. Some of these you look at and you're like, okay, like, I could sort of see that. Like, what was the initial offer or your initial conversation where it was like, yeah, you know, here's what we're going to get to. We're going to get to Dan Arnold for Quintez Cephas straight up. Those aren't guys that are typically all that voluminous. 304 and 403 for 210. No problem moving up there. That's if that's getting inside your tier line, that's fine. Dak Prescott and Jordan Akins for Matt Ryan, Zeke, a 2023 first, a 2023 second, and a 2022 second. So basically a first and a second 2 years from now and a second next year. Lots of twos and threes in there. It's tough to sort out with now we're getting into numbers way far out from now. This is really interesting. I look at this deal and what side could take the really bad loss? Well, if Prescott's not great, it's pretty uninsulated. It'd sort of be my initial thing there. Akins not particularly valuable, but it's a two tight end league. So that's kind of what I'm talking about in the earlier trade. Like, get that. That's a nice asset in a two tight end league. Like, that could be a tight end one for his team, and instantly he's on the starting radar in that format. So that's absolutely the way you do one of these. You know, again, it's 5 for 1, it's 5 for 2. But those are assets, not players, you know, so you're getting stuff back, right? I don't mind that quite as much in terms of the construct of it. You know, could you squeeze out an extra backup running back? You know, in those bigger deals, just remember there's a lot of leeway in there typically in terms of some of the value stuff. I do think it's really interesting because Prescott's clearly the best player in the deal. How does it go wrong? You know, if Prescott's bad, right, that's the way it basically goes wrong. What could Matt Ryan do over the next couple of years to super hurt you? What could Zeke do, right? It's probably a falling asset. If you're sitting there in 2023, what side are you going to regret not taking? You know, maybe if that pick's super elite, you could have some questions about it. You know, does Dak maybe lose this in the near term but sort of win this over the next 5 years? I could sort of see that. I think it's an interesting deal. I'd probably try and reconstruct it a little bit. But I think it's interesting in terms of it is super flex. So you've got that really good 2023 class looking down the barrel. Lots of spots here. I would think I would probably take Dak, but it's an interesting, I would probably want to know a little bit more about the construct of my team and my league and sort of what I'm looking at in terms of contending windows and just aligning all that stuff. But it's an interesting deal. Here's one that I would be, this is a good example of how to crush a rookie draft. Someone traded 106 and a future first for 105. Again, I'm not sure what was there, what the impetus was for that, but that's top three quarterbacks, you know, running back, tight end one, and wide receiver one, presumably. You know, and if you're moving back from, even if you don't necessarily like how it fell from 5 to 6, like, you could take ETN. Right, like that's a great deal to move back one spot and get a future first. I love that. Right, that's letting, you know, just basically letting the the other person really, listen, you can have the choice and I'll take the guy that's basically the same. that's really nice. Kareem Hunt for Cooper Kupp. That's an interesting one for one deal. Kind of feels right on the need for need basis. I don't really hate it. I don't hate it. You know, it makes a lot of sense probably for both teams. It sort of be what my thought is. I do think Kupp's really interesting this year. If we could get a full 17 game season out of him, I get to get my numbers right. Now that we're moving to the bigger schedule, got to get that right. But that's one where, you know, I think he's got some pretty interesting upside, you know, in terms of that. Probably the biggest upside play in this is Hunt. There's two-way go upside, too. There's I think, long-term upside in the sense that, hey, Chubb's a free agent. There's upside in the sense of, hey, if Chubb gets hurt, you know, if there's upside in the sense of, hey, listen, he could be, you know, it's basically posted running back two type production. And you sort of put that against what Kupp could offer. I think Hunt is the player that has the most significant chance of really impacting the championship, right? He's the guy that I think can probably tilt your league. So that's definitely an interesting one there. I could see both angles of it for sure. 204, a future second and a future third. Those are both in 2022 for Josh Jacobs. And I'll take Jacobs pretty clearly. Don't need to talk about that one much more. Kellen Mond, Javian Hawkins, and a 2022 first for Tom Brady, David Johnson, and a 2022 second. So basically the cost of essentially moving down a future round, you know, we'll see sort of what the gap is on those picks. But that's to basically get you know, Brady and David Johnson. The interesting thing about, you know, about getting back that second is you've probably strengthened the second. If this is a scenario where you're actually getting the other team's pick and they've traded away Brady and David Johnson for two guys that probably aren't going to compete this year, that has the potential to really move up Brady has the potential to really change where you finish, right? So that could actually make the first late and the second early. So I think that's a notable thing sort of when you're constructing those deals. And if you're doing that deal where you're the building team and you got to give back a second to get a first, give someone else a second because you're kind of harming, you know, you're kind of harming your own in doing that. So that would be one angle that I would say, you know, just in terms of bigger picture, how to maybe construct that deal. Mitchell Trubisky in a fourth next year for a second next year. That's an interesting, you know, basically a backup quarterback situation. That's an interesting one in terms of, I'm not necessarily sure why that happened now, to be honest. So that's your dozen trades. Just highlight the most traded as well. It's a feature on Analytics of Dynasty's trade database. Miles Gaskin, 7.3% uptick in his trades over the last 30 days. James Robinson, 7.3. Miles Sanders, 5.9. Laviska Shenault, 5.6. Julio Jones, notably, 5.6. Mike Davis, 5.5. Kenny Galladay, 5.5. Sam Darnold, 5.5. And then those are the big ones. In terms of where they're at, Deshaun Watson is like the first time he's not in the top like three in quite a while. He's at 4.8%. So it's still an uptick there. Over the last 5 days, last 7 days, excuse me, there's some interesting stuff here. And I think the more we sort of look at these, it'll be interesting to see because these are probably popping out of someplace, whether that's news, whether that is, you know, like a podcast focus or something like that. It's interesting. Laviska Shenault jumping 1.3%, so that's notable. Judy 1.2%. Miles Gaskin 1.2%. Julio Jones 1.1%. And Chase Edmonds there up 1.1% as well. So those guys are all up in terms of their trading volume from where they were a week ago. So I think that's notable. Again, not any huge ones, but that Laviska Shenault is something we'll have to keep an eye on. So All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.